ओम ज्ञानतिमरन्धस्यगणञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वायं रूपकधामायं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीजथापदकमलं श्रीगुरुर्वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सग्रजातं सहगणरगणतन्वितं तं सजीवम् सधैतं सवदूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगणललितशिवशकान्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणसिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिककान्त राधकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंचकपतरुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 2. Evaṁ parāmparā praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakaleneha mahatā yoga nashta parantapa. Just leave the books aside for now. Yeah. So, Lord Sri Krishna is saying, I will say the verse once again. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakaleneha mahatha yoga nashta parantapa. Translation. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. So this knowledge is given by Krishna before he even spoke to Arjuna, you see. Krishna had previously given this knowledge to the sun god Vivishvam, as described here in the Bhagavad Gita. It's not that this Bhagavad Gita is only given once. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhaviti bharata. Krishna comes again and again and again to reestablish it. You may say, well, what's the purpose of this knowledge? Actually, the purpose of this knowledge is to bring us back into our loving relationship with God. Do you ever wonder why you exist? Is it because your parents wanted to have a child? Is that why you exist? And so we know from Vedas that actually we've had many, many births. So that cannot be, our existence is beyond this body as spiritual beings. You see. Have you ever wondered why you exist as a spiritual being? This is the most important question to answer, actually. Why do I exist? One of my e-students from Montreal, actually, she wrote me, she said, when I was a little girl, I wondered, why do I exist? This is a very intelligent question. Why do I exist? Janaki, do you ever wonder why you exist? You ever thought about that? Why do I exist?
No.
You ever wondered why you exist?
She said no.
Huh?
She said no.
Ah, okay. Better put my hearing aid in. Aging body here. So, that's very rare that someone will ask that question. But that's actually, that's a very important question, to know why we exist. Because once we know why we exist, then we can know how to make the best use, how to best utilize our existence. Just like this harmonium here is a very nice instrument. To know why this harmonium exists, it exists for making music. And then by knowing why it exists, then you can get the proper utilization. You see? So you can make music with it. If you don't know why it exists, then you won't know what to do with it. So the difficulty we have in the modern day world is we don't even know why we exist. And people are running around. They don't know why they're even doing anything. All they know is that, when I eat, I feel some pleasure. When I have sex, I feel some pleasure. And so I'm just going to base my life around, eating and having sex. And I'll make a nice fortress, a nice house. And, in a car so I can run around and get my food and I can... In other words, it's all based on this temporary body. And therefore, we're not really ever fully satisfied. Even though we're happy in so many ways, we have money, we have cars, we have nice houses and so many things, we're still not happy for some reason. We're not fully satisfied. Sometimes we're just really bewildered, what's going on? Our minds are disturbed, we're unhappy in so many ways. So that's why this science of Krishna is so important, because this actually tells us how we can remain in our present situation and be absolutely, totally happy. It doesn't say you have to become a sannyasi. Was Arjuna a sannyasi? No, he was a married man. He had a job. He had a career. Did he give up his career after he heard the Bhagavad Gita and go to the forest? No, he did not give up his career. He did not give up his wife. He kept everything just as it was, but he did it for Krishna's pleasure. That's all. It's the only difference. He was a professional warrior by his training and his occupation. Somebody else might be a computer engineer, but it's the same principle. If Arjuna had been a computer engineer, he would have, instead of going to the battlefield, he would have gone back to XYZ Corporation on Monday morning and reported to work, just like he always did, you see. After hearing the Bhagavad Gita. Because Arjuna wanted to quit his job and go sit in the forest somewhere. I can't handle this. But after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, he said, okay, I'll do my occupational duty of being a warrior because you want me to do this, Krishna, for you. So becoming Krishna conscious doesn't mean becoming a sadhu. Of course, you develop saintly qualities, but it doesn't mean you become a renunciate externally. And, go sit on the Ganges and just chant japa and 24 hours a day. Being Krishna conscious reestablishes you with who you actually are. So all we're really saying is know who you are and be who you are. We're not trying to say, okay, you have to do something artificial that's not really you. No. What we're really saying is that right now, because of the material society, which is so far an illusion in terms of understanding what is the actual reason we exist, we've been conditioned to do things and to think in such ways and speak in such ways which are not actually in harmony with our actual nature. We've been miseducated, to put it simply. We've been miseducated. We've been given the wrong training. And because of it, sometimes we feel difficulties. Some people more, some people less. But all of us have difficulties, more or less. We're all suffering to varying degrees. So the beauty of this science that Krishna is getting ready to speak to Arjuna here in the Bhagavad Gita is this science is actually meant for all living entities. There is one name for Krishna, Jagannath, being the Lord of the whole universe. Was Krishna ever called, you ever heard any temple called the Hindu Nath temple, where Krishna is called Hindu Nath, the Lord of the Hindus? So why does the dictionary say a Hindu god? That is not in the Sanskrit language. Hindu is not even a word in Sanskrit language. The Muslims coined that word, Hindus, actually. So, the real thing is, Krishna is the Lord of the whole universe. Jagannath, he is the Lord of the whole universe. Jagat or Jagannath, he is the Lord of the whole universe. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram surhidam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam chantamrichati. Krishna says, I am the supreme enjoyer. I am the supreme the supreme owner and the best friend of all living entities. One who knows me as such alone can be achieve pure happiness. So this is a very valuable thing. If you can actually master this science of Krishna consciousness, you will come off the platform of anxiety. You see? You will come beyond the platform of anxiety. If you can actually realize these truths. So, even though we make external arrangements for our body, the bodies of our family members, these are secondary, actually. Our primary duties, just like a train runs on, there's two rails in the track. Our primary duty and responsibility is to awaken that dormant, enlightened consciousness within that will bring us back to remembrance of that relationship we had with Krishna eons ago before we fell into this material existence. We can reawaken that remembrance. Oh yes, I was serving Krishna. But somehow I got deviated and I got into serving myself only, you see. Trying to be happy by serving myself and those persons who are related to me, my family members, my friends, my employer, you see, my nation, you see. We've gotten into a position where we cannot actually be happy because we're so far away from being who we actually are. So this is why Krishna very mercifully comes and presents this supreme science of bhakti, how to... Of course, there are many yogas. There are many yogic systems. In India, there are many types of yoga that are taught traditionally. But Krishna explains in the Gita so many varieties of yoga. And he gives a comparison that actually this bhakti yoga system, the yoga which is based on love, is actually the topmost thing. If you think about it, doesn't this make a lot of sense? If I asked you, Sandeep, that now I'm giving you a meditation that I want you to do every day for 2 hours. I want you to sit and stare at a candle every day for 2 hours. In the beginning, because it's new, it'll be interesting. Well, I wonder what this is like to stare at a candle. Just sit silently and stare at a candle for 2 hours every day. One yogi actually taught me that meditation technique. But after a short while, I lost interest in it because there was no... It was so impersonal and so boring after a while, you know. One yogi.
Somebody wanted to come here, she went back. She just wanted to do it.
She needs directions. All right, we'll put the lecture on hold for a minute. So there you are, Sandeep. You're sitting there in the closet, staring at the candle. And after a while, in the beginning, it's, you know, this is something different, something new, exciting. I wonder what's going to happen here looking at this candle. So you, in the beginning, you're all excited about it. It's a new type of meditation. You're sitting there waiting, what's going to happen. But after a while, you go, well, there's nothing really happening here. It's just a candle. And there's, you know, it's all it is. There's so many thousands of candles, and they all look alike. And here I am. What am I going to get out of looking at this candle? After a while, you just lose interest because it's just a mechanical process of fixing your mind on a candle. But on the other hand, if you're given a nice wife, someone who can relate with you as a person, then that's much more interesting than a candle. You can have loving reciprocation. She can serve you. You can serve her. You do things together. You have a family. A wife becomes something it's not boring. It becomes more and more interesting as it goes along. Because there's a personal loving relationship. So in the bhakti platform, the bhakti type of meditation, is you have a personal loving relationship with Krishna. It's not just staring at a candle, some impersonal, you know, just fixing your mind on one point. It's actually a personal loving relationship with God, with Krishna. Through the medium of the spiritual man, you can see your wife, you see. She's sitting here. But you can't see Krishna. Of course, we can see a picture of Krishna. But you can't see Krishna as original form. But you can see the spiritual master who represents Krishna. So the spiritual master helps you by developing a personal relationship with the spiritual master. That helps you to develop a personal relationship with Krishna. But the real point is to develop a personal relationship with Krishna. The spiritual master is just there as a medium to help you make the connection. But that is a very exciting and interesting type of meditation because your relationship with your spirit, the spiritual master, and with Krishna is something that evolves, just like your relationship with your wife. It's something that evolves over a period of time to where you become deep, you know, there's an intimacy that grows in that relationship where you know each other better, you understand each other better, the feelings of love become deeper, you see, over time and maturity. So that's the same thing happens in Krishna consciousness. Through the medium of the spiritual master, you'd actually develop a loving relationship with Krishna and with the spiritual master as well. And those things deepen and they become more mature over time. And they never get old, they become more interesting and exciting. So the Bhakti Yoga system is based on that sort of personal loving relationship. Instead of meditating on a candle, we meditate on the names of Krishna. Now Krishna is fully, because he's all-powerful, he's God himself, he is actually fully present in the sound of his name, in the sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna is actually present. You can actually, just like you can associate with your wife, sitting down and talking over breakfast, you see, you can associate with Krishna. In the same close, intimate way, you're actually directly associating with God. And just imagine every day, you know, you have a 2-hour personal face-to-face meeting with God. Someone calls and your wife answers the phone, well, I need to talk to Sandeep. Well, he's having a meeting with God right now. Pretty important meetings. He's doing his japa meditation. You see, actually that is a fact. And we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are having a direct, personal, intimate meeting with the Supreme Lord Himself. That person who is by whose energy the sun is rising, the sun is setting, the flowers are coming out in the spring. You see, by whose energy all the rivers are flowing and the oceans are there and all the food is available and all these civilizations have come up. Toronto is existing. Highway 401 is existing by his potency. The airport, the electricity, you know, all the plants, the door in the closet, the wood that made the tree. All this is by the energy of Krishna. The clothing that we wear, the floor we're sitting on. This is all happening by the energy of Krishna. So just imagine if you can have a personal relationship with that person who owns everything and controls everything. Even all the other, of course in Hinduism we have so many gods, isn't it? But actually if you carefully study the scriptures, you'll find that all the gods worship Krishna as the supreme. It's an interesting thing. So that means instead of having to worship this god, that god, that god, this god, that god, on and on and on and on and on, if you give your worship to Krishna, then automatically, just like when you feed your belly, do not you feed all the parts of your body? When you feed it, when you water the root of the tree, what happens? Don't you give your water to all the leaves and branches of the tree when you water the root? So when you give your love to Krishna, automatically Shiva is very happy with you. He gives you all of his blessings. Lord Brahma is very happy with you. He gives you his blessings. Mother Sarasvati is very pleased with you. She gives you her blessings. Durga Devi is very pleased. She gives her blessings. So this is called one-stop shopping. You just give your love to Krishna, and automatically, it's like Walmart, you know, kind of way. But you get everything under one roof. But anyway, yeah, you just give your love to Krishna. Automatically, all the gods are pleased with you. Just like in Hindu tradition, we may worship our forefathers also, isn't it? But actually, when you worship Krishna, you will deliver your forefathers from whatever difficulties they may be in. If you become a pure devotee of Krishna, then you automatically liberate so many generations of your forefathers. So this Krishna bhakti is the most powerful spiritual practice available anywhere in the universe, even on the higher planets. Lord Brahma himself is a devotee of Krishna. In fact, it was Krishna who empowered Brahmaji to fill up the whole universe with population and planets. It's by Krishna's empowerment that Brahmaji was able to create the whole material existence. Tene Brahma Hridayadi Kavaye Muyanti Yatsurya. Krishna, from within the heart, and gave Brahmaji all spiritual enlightenment. And Brahmaji then wrote beautiful prayers. There's a beautiful scripture called Brahma Samhita, in which Brahmaji, after he got the enlightenment from Krishna, he simply glorifies Krishna. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshi valokayanti yang shama shundaram achintya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. He gives many, many verses which we call the Govinda prayers, in which he ends it govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami, which means I worship Krishna, the adipurusha, Govinda, Krishna, adipurush. You know what adipurush means? Adi means original or beginning, and Purush means person. So Krishna is Adi Purusha. If you want to be a Brahman, you have to learn the shlokas also. You have to become learned in the philosophy to be Brahman. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That means I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the original personality. So in this way, we can understand what is the great secret of all the Vedas. What is the insider secret? If you really become learned in Vedas, what is it you actually do? You actually come to the point of Krishna bhakti. That is the person who is the most learned person in the Vedas. Vedanta krit veda vid eva chaham. Krishna says, by all the Vedas, it is actually me who is to be known. All the Vedas ultimately come to the point of Krishna. One who is a master of Vedic studies comes to the point of Krishna bhakti. That is the perfection of Vedic studies. Krishna says, Vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. Actually, I am the one who is the... I am behind the scene. I am the compiler of actually all the Vedic wisdom. It's all coming from me. You see, Vedavyas is actually an incarnation of Krishna. And he has compiled all the Vedic wisdom. So if we can come in contact with a person who is realized in Krishna, you see, and we can hear from that person, we can actually hear from a person who has realized Krishna, this is the easiest way to become self-realized. Isn't this the goal of the Indian culture, to become self-realized? Of course, nowadays many people think, well, it just means you worship the God to get this thing and that thing. You know, what is that prayer? Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. You see, that is not the purpose of... That is a fringe benefit, you can say. But that is not the purpose of Vedic culture. See, I'm not making fun. I'm not picking on the Hindus. I say the same things about the Christians and the Muslims. Everybody's guilty of it nowadays. We all go to the church, the synagogue, the mosque, the temple, the tabernacle or whatever, you know, the cathedral, to beg God, gimme, 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 gimme. It's a childish mentality. Do you think God has to be reminded to give you what you need? When you were a child growing up in your father's house, Sandeep, did you have to ask your parents if they would feed you every day? Of course not. They love you. They're going to feed you. So do we have to flatter God to get our house by the sea and our silk sari for our wife? Those things will all come. You see, by God's grace, our maintenance is already going to come anyway. So why are we trying to flatter God to get some material things He's going to give us anyway? This is called less intelligence. What we should actually do is approach the Lord and beg Him, please engage me in your service. You see, if you approached your parents and said, my dear mother and father, how can I serve you today? That would give them the greatest happiness. How can I serve you, my beloved mother and father? You have given me so much. Now please tell me, what can I give you? That's what I want. That child will become the most dear child of the parents. Instead of always wanting to take, take, take. The one who gives, 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 that is the dearest person. So the bhakti yoga system is a process of learning how to approach God in the mood of giving to God. And the insider secret in this connection is that when you totally give yourself to the Lord, guess what happens? He reciprocates with your total surrender by giving Himself to you. He becomes your person, just like Yashoda. Krishna agreed to become her little boy and be tied up with ropes by Mother Yashoda. See? When you give yourself to Krishna, Krishna then will, out of love, will give Himself to you. Just like He became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Krishna will become your servant when you totally give yourself to Him. And that, if that person who owns everything, who controls absolutely everything in the whole universe, is your personal servant, that means you will never be in any difficulty in any time, place, or situation. You will never experience any difficulty. Never. If you totally give yourself to that supreme person who owns and controls everything, you absolutely will never experience difficulty. So if we're experiencing difficulty, then what is the logical conclusion? The logical conclusion is the only reason we're experiencing difficulty is that we are not surrendered to Krishna. Do you understand? Yes. Because we're not surrendered. That's why we're having difficulty. So the spiritual master comes. The spiritual master means that person who is fully surrendered to Krishna. The spiritual master comes on the order of Krishna. And he teaches us how we can also come to that position of being fully surrendered to Krishna. Because that is when we become unlimitedly happy and satisfied in all respects. So in this verse, the description of how do you recognize a bona fide spiritual master is understood. Krishna says, that knowledge of me, that supreme science of bhakti, that is coming through the parampara system, which means disciplic succession in English. In other words, the spiritual master cannot be self-made, declare himself to be a guru. That's bogus. The spiritual master has to be a disciple of a spiritual master who is a disciple of a spiritual master who is a disciple of a spiritual master, who is a disciple of a spiritual master, who is a disciple of a spiritual master. back, and back until you get to Adi Guru. And who do you think is the Adi Guru, the original Guru? That is Krishna. Mm-hmm. Krishna is Adi Guru. He's the original spiritual master. The first Guru he made in this universe is Brahmaji. Within this universe, Brahmaji was the first one to receive this knowledge. Brahmaji, we all know Narad Muni. Bollywood makes me look a cartoon character, but actually Narad Muni is a very, very sober, advanced sage. He's very sober and advanced sage, and he is the disciple of Brahmaji. And then Brahmaji, then Narad, he is the guru of Vedavyas. So in this way, the knowledge has been coming down for thousands and thousands of years. And the most recently, we had His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the 32nd link in the chain of disciplic succession coming from Krishna. You may wonder, well, if it's so ancient, how come there's only 32 links? Because how could Prabhupada, be the 32nd link? Well, the Vedavyas is still actually living in the Himalayas. And that's how, in some recent centuries, this Madhvacharya approached Vedavyas in the Himalayas. And that's why there's only 32. Well, that's why Prabhupada, of course, now there's the 33rd link is the disciples of Prabhupada, who are preaching all over the world. They are the 33rd link in this line of succession. So, this is a very wonderful system, Krishna consciousness. And it is the bhakti yoga system. And it one does not have to blindly accept it. One can simply try chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. And then you can judge by the results. You can actually experience the beauty of Krishna consciousness by trying it, by following the instructions, not inventing your own version. If you take the actual system that is given and follow it as it is, you will get the result. Just like if you're sick, you go to the doctor, he says, avoid this and take this, and you do it and you get well. But if you invent your own thing, well, I don't think I want to take, I'll take this medicine and not that one. If you concoct your own way of doing it, what's going to happen, Meghna? You're going to get well? No, you won't. Don't you have to do exactly what the doctor said? Yes, you must do exactly what the doctor says. And then you'll become a spiritually enlightened being. You will completely transcend this material existence. You will still be in this world, but you won't be of it anymore. It's not that a devotee becomes, a spaced out, becomes dysfunctional within this material world. A devotee becomes very expert with this material world because he sees everything as it is. He sees everything in relation with Krishna, which is the perfect vision. Devotee doesn't become materially inept or incapable of functioning in a job situation or in family situations. No, because he sees the family and he sees the job in relation with Krishna. Therefore, the devotee has the perfect vision of everything and intelligence and understands perfectly well how to engage the family and how to engage the job situation, everything in a way that makes everything perfect and complete. Does anybody have any questions? Yes?
You mentioned hearing from a proper source, and I actually am struck that you're listening, but you're not really hearing. So how does one develop that quality of actually hearing, and not just listening? Hearing being more absorbed.
Yeah, you can. It's a difference between a spectator sport and a participation sport. You can just hear about Krishna consciousness, but if you don't actually do it, you're not really listening into it fully. The way to actually hear is to apply what you're hearing. Just like if you're taking a university course, chemistry course, do you not have to also go to the laboratory and do the laboratory assignments? if you simply sit in the lecture but you don't actually go to the laboratory, then you will not actually become expert in chemistry. So whatever instructions you're receiving, you may say, well, that's very nice, I heard that. But if you don't apply it, then you haven't really, really heard it in the real sense of the term. You haven't really heard it. You have to take what you have been told, instructed, and then do it. When you do it, then it becomes realized knowledge. There's two types of knowledge, gyan and vigyan. Gyan means theoretical knowledge, and vigyan is realized knowledge. You can hear that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you say, okay, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very good that you've accepted it, but if you actually surrender to Him, then you will tangibly experience Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. You'll be able to extract Krishna from everything you see, everything you hear, everything you taste, everything you smell, and everything you touch. You'll be in constant direct contact with the Supreme Source, the ultimate source of all energies at every second. Talk about being energized. If you're in touch with the source of all energies at every second, you have direct contact with that ultimate source of all energies at every second, you will be energized like anything. But if you just hear about Krishna and go, oh yeah, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see? You didn't really hear it. You acknowledged that it was spoken, but you didn't really hear. Hearing means accepting, realizing. Questions, Mark? Of course, you already know everything, don't you, Meghna? What don't you know then? Tell me.
I don't want to ask. If I ask it, then I have to hear, and hearing means to put
in. If I open my mouth, I may get in trouble. Gurudev may give me an order now. If I open my mouth, he'll give me some order, an assignment. I may have to surrender and give up my so-called independence in this material world. What do you not understand? See, why are you not a pure devotee yet? Why are you not seeing Krishna face to face at every minute, you see? What are the obstacles? You see, why are you not surrendered? I'm asking you now. Since you don't have a question, I have one. Why are you not fully surrendered to Krishna? Do you have any idea why you're not fully surrendered? What's the difficulty? Why are you not a completely self-realized being at this moment? Do you have any idea why you're not?
I don't have idea, but I'm not persistent. I'm not persistent about.
Persistent.
She's persistent. Not persistent. No, you're not persistent.
You're lacking in self-discipline.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. Yeah. So, how does one muster up self-discipline? Well, it's very simple. You have to if you associate with people who are self-disciplined, then you become self-disciplined. See, that's the actual meaning of disciple. Disciple, Prabhupada told me, disciple means discipline. One who learns how to regulate their thoughts, their words and their activities to make them always pleasing to Guru and Krishna as a disciplined person. They are called a disciple. Disciple doesn't just mean getting a spiritual name and getting some neck beads, you see. The real meaning of a disciple is one who regulates every thought, every word and every deed so that they're always fully pleasing to Guru and Krishna. That's called disciple, you see. Has learned how to regulate all thoughts, words and deeds. So the key is you have to find people who have that spirit of self-discipline, who are actually disciples, and you have to hang on to them, become their associate. You have to associate with them as much as possible and try to become like them. Monkey see, monkey do. You have to see, what are they doing? Those people who are fixed in Krishna consciousness, they are a very good example for you. You should find people who are fixed in Krishna consciousness. You should see what they are doing and you should imitate it. If they are chanting Japa Mala, then you should also chant Japa Mala. If they are offering their food, you should offer food. If they are going to the temple as much as possible, you should go to the temple as much as possible. If they are reading Prabhupada's books, if they are keeping Prabhupada's books in their home, then you should also do. So you have some subject matter for reading. You see? You simply have to see those people who are fixed in the path on the pathway of self-realization and do exactly what they are doing, and then automatically you'll be elevated spiritually. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to make spiritual advancement. It doesn't take a great star athlete to advance in Krishna consciousness. You just have to use a little common sense and associate with those people who are fixed in Krishna consciousness, and you will naturally get it. Don't they have so many clubs, you know? Just like in Austin, there's a lot of songwriters down there. They have the Austin Songwriters Club. So they all get together and talk about songwriting, you see. Share their latest creations with each other, network on how you can get recording contracts or whatever, you see. The Austin Songwriters Association. So we have our Krishna Consciousness Association, the Hare Krishna Movement. It's a place for people who are not content with getting simply birth, death, old age, and disease. There are people who want to rise beyond all the miseries of material existence and taste transcendental bliss at every second. Would you like that? So we have the Krishna Consciousness Movement. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is a society for people who want, like you, who want to taste the greatest, the sweetest nectar at every second. It's a place for people like you to come and get guidance, association, inspiration, everything you need, books, everything you need to advance on the pathway back to home, back to God.
But even though a person has self-realized, still the
materialist,
the body has to go through the pains, right?
Yeah, but it's somebody slashes my tire right now. Let's say there's some hoodlum comes, some gunda comes down the street and slashes the tires on my van right now. Did I feel any pain? It's not me, is it? Because if I think that I'm that car, it may be painful for me. But actually, if someone slashes my tires, does it hurt me? I didn't even know about it, I didn't even feel it. I may go out and find that somebody slashed my tires, you see. Because this is a good neighborhood, it won't happen here, but in Chicago, it's a rough neighborhood. It could happen in Chicago, it could happen. The neighborhood where we stayed in Chicago was a rough neighborhood. Somebody slashes my tires, did it hurt me? So your body is like a car. Your body will still go through birth, death, old age, and disease. That's a fact. But if you situate yourself on the spiritual platform, you will no longer be afflicted by the conditions of your body. It won't torment you. It will be something you have to deal with, but it will not lower your consciousness. It will not, as they say, bring you down.
Existence.
If you become fixed in Krishna consciousness, you will become very strongly absorbed in love of God, which gives unlimited pleasure to your soul. You'll be very strongly absorbed in love of God. Every day you'll wake up and just feel so thankful and so happy that I have another day to serve my Lord, to do things for Him, to chant His name, to cook for Him, to decorate His altar, to pick some nice flower and offer it to Him. You'll take the unlimited happiness just in these simple things. Patram pushpam palam tayam. Krishna says, if you offer me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. So you will take unlimited pleasure just being able to pick a flower and offer it to Krishna. That will give your soul unlimited happiness. Whether you're sick or healthy, it doesn't matter. You'll still taste the sweet happiness of being able to offer Krishna a flower.
Does spiritual enlightenment means that not to feel any sort of pain in materialism?
You will no longer be the sensation of pain. It's not like morphine, or or something like that. That dulls. You don't actually feel the pain. The sensation of pain will be there, but it will not disturb you. The sensation of pain will be like a warning light going off on the panel of your car to warn you that something's going wrong with the automobile. You'll still have the sensation of pain, but it will no longer be a cause of distress for you. You'd just be a warning light going off on the on the panel of your automobile. Oh, it's a red light. Maybe I'm low on oil. You know, I got a pain in my foot. Maybe it went to sleep. I got to move. My foot went to sleep, or you know, like that. I got some bad pain. I may have to go to the doctor and see what's wrong. So, you know, so the pain will be there, but it will not lower your consciousness. You'll remain fixed in a blissful state of Krishna consciousness, even though the pain is there. It won't disturb you. You'll become Dira, or one who is undisturbed. You'll still feel it, but it won't be a disturbance for you. It'll just be an indication of something happening in your body. And even psychologically, you see, Krishna consciousness means you'll rise beyond your mind also. Even if there's some disturbance in your mind, you can say, well, this is not a very significant thing. You'll be able to detach yourself from the disturbance of your mind. And actually, your mind will become peaceful by doing that. By fixing yourself in the higher spiritual platform, your mind will become very peaceful all the time. There may be chaos happening all around you, but you'll be so strongly absorbed in your relationship with your spiritual master and with Krishna that you'll be impervious to all the suffering conditions of material existence. They won't faze you anymore. It's not that you become incapable of functioning. You'll be able to deal with all the anxieties of material life in a very expert way, that you can conquer over them, actually.
Even the fear of death.
Even the fear of death, you conquer.
Oh, of course, because you realize when you fully take shelter of Guru and Krishna, you achieve immortality. Death can't even touch you. When you actually fully surrender to Guru and Krishna, death can't even touch you. You become impervious to death. The greatest fear of all of death don't even touch you. Death would just be a stepping stone to enter the next room. That's it. If I say, okay, Meghna, can you go over there and get me a glass of water? Will you freak out about having to enter another room? No. Death just means you go from one room to the next. That's all it means. Right now you're in the room of this body, you see, this Indian woman's body. That's the room you're in right now. That's so. You're the living Benedict. You're not the room. You're not an Indian woman. You're an eternal spiritual being in quality one with God. Right now you're in this Indian, the room of this Indian woman's body. But according to, if you're self-realized at the time of death, then you'll enter into a much nicer room than the one you're in now. When we get a new apartment, don't we want to make the rooms as nice as possible? Isn't it? So if you become fully absorbed in Krishna Bhakti, your next room is going to be unbelievably nice.
But is it written in any scriptures that after you follow all these rules, what happens next, like after you...
Yes, Krishna says... Abrahma bhuvana loka punar ravartinarjana mamupechita konteya punar janmana vidyate. That from the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to Maya Bodha, son of Kunti, punar janmana vidyate, he never takes birth again. If you surrender to Krishna, you will escape this cycle of birth and death. You'll go back to an eternal existence which is full of bliss and knowledge. Described in detail in the Brahma Samhita, what it's like.
So it will be on a higher planet that it will
take. Yes, you go to a different planet. That's right. There's no air pollution there. There's no water pollution. There's no bad. There's no tsunamis. There's no taxes. There's no demoniac persons. It's a realm where Krishna is the center. And everyone there is his pure devotees, and everyone has eternally youthful bodies. No one gets old there, or sick, or no one dies there. The deathless is called the spiritual world, the spiritual sky. Para Vyoma, the spiritual sky. You actually enter into that spiritual sky when you leave this body. You don't have to worry about even earning a living. You can just enjoy. It's just every day is a festival there. There's the most delicious food, there's all kinds of festivals going on, singing and dancing, and people are beautifully dressed in beautiful clothing, and no one is angry or lusty or envious. It's just pure loving relationships.
Nobody is selfish.
No one's selfish there. Everybody's in the mood of serving and giving. It's just, it's an ideal existence. And that world is happening there right now. And you formerly were a resident of that world, but you have forgotten about it. You formerly were a resident of that world, but you thought, well, maybe there's another way to enjoy. Let me try being God. Let me try being God. So Krishna said, okay, go. I'll give you a world where you can think that you're God. And when you're tired of trying to be God, you can come back to your original home. That's right. So my question is, are you tired of trying to play God? Are you tired of it? Huh? All right. So now just chant Hare Krishna and go back to your original home in the spiritual world. You know, go back. Back to home, back to Godhead. Go back to where you once belonged. Go back to that original identity you had in the spiritual world. Why are you loitering here in Toronto? You can stay in Toronto physically, but you should turn this apartment into a spiritual world, you see, by chanting every day, very chanting nicely on the mala, you know, offering all your food to Lord Krishna. In this way, you have to purify your existence. Questions, Mark?
It is not related to what just
What's your question?
Yeah, the question is, we drink cow's milk, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
But it comes from the cow's udder.
Yes,
so
yes.
So doesn't it? It's how does it be? How can it be veg? That's what I'm.
Uh huh. Yes, yes. because it does not take the life of the cow.
But still, it is the how it is made from the body.
That is God's special arrangement. Actually, cow's milk is nothing but the blood of the cow. Yeah. You see, it's like the meat eater; they're taking cow blood, blood and flesh of the cow. So actually, you're taking the blood of the cow, but you're taking it in a transformed form of milk. The cow is very happy when she is milked. When her milk gets very full, she feels discomfort. So she's very, very happy when it comes time for milking. So that is not committing violence upon the cow. Actually, the highest principle is not veg or non-veg. The highest principle is to only take that which is offerable to Lord Krishna. That is the highest principle. So because Krishna takes milk, we take milk. Because Krishna does not take meat, we do not take meat. We only take Krishna Prasad. Krishna enjoins in the third chapter of the Gita, Yagyushishta Shadashanto Muchante Sarvakilbishai, whatever you eat should be first offered to me, otherwise you're eating pap. By eating what is offered to me, you become free from all pap. So we take only Krishna Prasadam. That is the injunction of Bhagavad Gita. Take only Prasad of Krishna. So Krishna, he takes milk, he takes grains and fruits and vegetables. That's his diet. So we follow the diet of Krishna. We don't care veg, non-veg. If Krishna was non-veg, we would take non-veg. But Krishna is veg, so we take only veg. He takes veg, he takes fruits, grains and milk products. So we follow that pathway.
But it is usually said that whatever good deeds we do, usually if I am doing good deeds, it is what will affect me in this life and it will be carried forward in my next life.
Yes, yes.
So when I am doing Krishna Bhakti, how does it help in realizing my forefathers? I mean...
Releasing your forefathers?
Yeah.
Yes.
It is said...
Because it over... because the power of Krishna Bhakti can wipe out karma. Can erase karma.
Karmic reactions?
Yes. Krishna says, if you surrender to me, I will deliver you from all your karmic reactions. Sarva dharman paritya mam ekam shadanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshyishami mashuchaha. He says, sarva papebhyo, all sins, mokshyishami, I deliver you. I deliver you from all sins. Sarva papebhyo mokshyishami. I deliver you from all sins. I give you moksha from all of your pap, Krishna says. So, and you get a special fringe benefit that not only you get delivered, but he will deliver your relatives as well. Because you happen to come in their family, they get this special fringe benefit. They will also get delivered.
Even if they are not performing good karmas?
That's right. It's a special extra mercy for family members of devotees. They get delivered also. So you can't lose by becoming Krishna conscious. You're doing the greatest thing for your family, the greatest thing for yourself. It's a win-win situation when you surrender to Krishna. You don't lose. Questions, more?
So becoming devotee of Krishna and gaining more consciousness, all you're doing is changing your perspective towards life, right? The problems still do exist. You still got to resolve. You still got to go to work. You bring money home, pay high.
But you're seeing on a deeper level. Again, the word deep. You're actually seeing things as they actually are. That's true. The externals are still going on, but the consciousness has changed. It's just like everything in this material world, because it comes and it goes, and there's really nothing left at the end. They're all considered zeros. This material body is zero. I work so hard to maintain it, but then it just fades away after some time. It dies. My car, my house, all my relationships, they come and they go. So they're actually zero in the ultimate issue. That may sound very... The Buddhists say everything is zero, so just, merge into the nothingness. But we don't say that. We say, no, just take all those zeros and put a one at the end, and it becomes a huge, valuable number, you see. Six zeros lined up is zero, but when a one in the end, it's a million. And nine zeros is a billion. And 12 zeros, it's a trillion. You see? And 15 zeros, it's a quadrillion. 18 zeros of the one, it's a quintillion. You see? Just by adding that one to those zeros. So what? That one is Krishna. If you will learn under the guidance of an expert spiritual master how to do everything that you're already doing right now for the pleasure of Krishna, then your whole consciousness will be completely transformed. You'll become a spiritually enlightened being. People will be amazed when they see, what happened to you? You look so blissful. You're so intelligent. You've gained something incredible. What happened to you? Well, I became Krishna conscious. In the beginning, when you're first starting, when you're not very expert, they may think you're a little crazy. Sometimes that happens. When someone's first beginning Krishna consciousness, they may think you're a little crazy because they don't understand what Krishna consciousness is really. People think, Krishna consciousness means you got to go, you give up your wife, you give up your job and go live in the forest, and chant in some ashram out in the Himalayas or something. So don't become Krishna conscious, my dear son. Whatever you do, don't become Krishna conscious. But actually, and you may not know what to say because, you're just learning the philosophy and they're giving so many strong arguments and maybe you feel a little crazy or feel a little crazy too in the beginning. But once you become fixed and you actually understand in depth, again, Sandeep, once you go deeply into the philosophy and understand things, and it's simple, you can get a book today and you just study the book cover to cover. And we have an e-course on the internet. You can, I send you something every day in the email.
Yeah.
And you can write, you have an email, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so, you on the e-course already?
No.
So we can add you to the e-course, it's totally free. So there's no, it's not going to affect your pocketbook in any way, in a negative way. And you can, then you're free to ask questions. As you study the books and you go deeper into it, then you can inquire and get more and more information to see how you can do this and how you can change your consciousness at the same time, keep your wife always happy and your relatives happy and your boss happy and everything cool, in the external way. But how you can actually progress within your heart to higher and higher levels of consciousness, or deeper and deeper levels of consciousness, same principle. So, but when you're actually, when you become deeply, when your understanding does in fact become deep of the philosophy, then they will not think you're crazy at all. They'll go, this person is very wise. This person has something very, very deep and profound. Let me learn from him. See, but just like somehow or other, the grace of my spiritual master, I've been going deeper and deeper into Krishna consciousness, and now thousands of people all over the world want me to teach them and guide them how they can also do what I have done. I don't take credit. It's all the credit goes to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. But I have thousands of people all over the world who are begging me to come to their town, that I can give them, they can meet me face to face, and I can guide them on the pathway of spiritual perfection. So this, that happens as your own understanding becomes mature, then actually you'll become like a magnet, and people want, they'll come to you and they'll want to tell me, what have you done? How have you realized this? Please guide me how I can do it too. That happens. We're going to show you a video. Maybe we should show that now, because our time is running short. I have given a lecture tonight at the, and I have tons of correspondence work to do this afternoon. But we're going to show, we can go upstairs now, and we have a DVD of, I recently went to Turkey, to the Muslim world, and you'll see a whole hall full of Muslim people chanting Hare Krishna in great delight. It's just absolutely feeling like they've experienced, you can see that they're feeling like it's the most joyful thing they've ever experienced. That's how these Muslims are chanting Hare Krishna. So what we'll do now?
Well, DVD is not set up right now.
We can do it on my computer then.
Yeah, let's do that.
Or then my computer or something.
You have a...
Yeah.
Your screen's... You have a laptop.
Yeah.
Your screen's a little bigger.
Yeah.
Your screen's bigger than my... You have a bigger screen than my laptop.
15.
Oh, but you have a sound system on your computer.
Yeah.
We'll do it on your computer.
We are right now in the program.
So everyone proceed now. Come to this room.
Yes, very good.
So, Meghana?
Yes, brother.
Where is the best place? Is this, can everyone see the see from here? Is that a good spot for the computer? Everyone can see? Yeah. Oop. Okay. That's good. So we need to bring, it's a little, maybe we can bring that sheet in so everyone can sit on the, be comfortable, not on the cold floor. Bring that blanket.
No, the system.
We have the sound system in here. What is it, Mataji? Mataji, the sound system is in here. Mataji? Come here, Mataji. No, we're using hers, because she has a sound system plugged into it. Mine is not very loud.
Do I have to move everything from here?
No, no, it's okay. No, no, everything's cool.
No, I'll
get the blue.
It's, Mataji?
Yes.
It's nice, and everyone can hear nicely.
Yeah, this is fine.
Got it.
You don't need anything else. You don't need that also. It's nice.
I can help you move, Mataji, if that's a problem.
No.
She has a sound system plugged to the computer. It makes it nice for everyone to hear. Mine is not very loud.
You put the computer.
You have a DVD software, I presume. Oh, they're coming now?
Yeah, they're leaving now.
Okay, well, they'll have to come to the program at the temple. Okay. They're going to meet us at Lakshmi's. So we'll be there when they get there, is that the idea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. You haven't seen this guru temple,
no?
Oh, no, you're trying to click on the files. That will not work. Here, let me do it.
Okay.
That won't do it. That will not do it.
Okay.
Let me try it here.
Just right-click explore.
Okay, let's see. My computer. Okay, let's see if it works. Did you put it in yet?
Yes, I did.
It's in there. Okay. Okay, it's in there, all right.
Right in play.
It should come up on its own. Let's see, don't touch it.
Okay.
You have DVD software on there? Or not?
Yeah.
Okay, now it's coming up. Yeah, now it's coming. Play the DVD using...
Yeah, well, that only. That's right.
That's fine. Just
that one's good?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Let's see if it works. The DVD isn't exactly configured right, but it's usually...
Yeah, just...
Now playing. Just double click on
here.
Now playing, it says.
Yeah.
Okay, good. You can ask her to turn it down a little bit. Maybe it's so loud when I'm talking, you'll see what that point.
It's loud. Can you turn it down a little bit? You can hear?
That's too soft now. As long as everybody can hear it, it's all right.
Hare Krishna. Here we are in Istanbul, Turkey. We have come here to introduce the science of Krishna consciousness here in the Muslim world. One may ask, why Krishna consciousness in the Muslim world, the Hindu world? Actually, Krishna consciousness is not Muslim.